Manifested live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za. Make it make sense. Make sense. With Ayanda Nyati.
Hey, Bafu, Superman, so la.
That was quick.
Yeah, oh, quick, man. Now I'm quick, brother. So make it make sense with Ayanda Nyati. We love this feature. The response last week was just amazing. So we are under pressure to keep it there.
It's going to be there.
At that level. So today we are talking about the difference between a coalition in Africa, a coalition government and a government of national unity. Of yours, government of national unity takes us back to 1994. So yes. Yeah, we'd like for you to make it make sense, sir. It's your job.
All right. Thank you. Truly appointed.
Yeah.
Serving with happiness.
Hey, so, I mean,
the background, of course, is around this new government that we now have to put together now that we're in this moment of history, right? So context very quickly, the ANC didn't get 50%. For the first time, the ANC can't decide who's in government alone. They need other people around them to do that. Two options had been put on the table. As you've mentioned, there's one of a government of national unity, which does have some kind of footprint in the country's political history, because in 1994, when we were trying to bring people together, the ANC won an outright majority, but still included other people, right? In this case, the ANC didn't win an outright majority. And that's why there is, people raising questions about, is this really a government of national unity if nobody won a majority? But I'll come back to that. The other option is a coalition, which is essentially partnering up with one of the other parties to get us past 50%,
yeah,
and then forming a government that way. So questions around whether or not this is a genuine GNU, a genuine government of national unity. A number of people are raising the question, Nuguti, the only time we can call it a government of national unity is if there was an outright winner, and that winner went out of their way to include people. But in this case, there is no outright winner.
So we can't say whatever that is happening now is the same thing that happened in 1994. Because in 1994, ANC won clearly, but they decided to have a vice president that is F.W. de Klerk, that is from the National Party.
Correct.
So it's not like then. This is different. This is way different.
Precisely. The ANC, in other words, doesn't have a choice. It's not like they're sitting there and out of their own generosity are asking for other political parties to be involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
They have to reach out if they still want any kind of control in the government. Khumutso has a hand up.
But my question is, the ANC still won the elections. They might not have won the best way to call the shots, but the ANC garnered most votes in South Africa. Why would it be frowned upon for them to decide who they play with? That's what not making sense to me, because everybody that's complaining has got like an under 1% or a percent. And I'm just like, I don't know what the complaint is about, because for a layman like me, looking back, I'm like, but they got 40%, which none of you guys have.
Yeah. So, I mean, okay, so there's two things, right? The first is, depending who the ANC partners with, that might affect things like policy direction,
sure,
economic trajectory, etc., etc. And so that's why the 1%ers care. They're like, if you go left, this is the implication. If you go right, that's the implication, and we're all going to be affected by that. The second thing is, yes, the ANC got the majority vote. I mean, the popular vote.
Sure.
They got the popular vote, but they didn't get the majority. In an ideal world where everybody in the opposition agreed, the ANC could actually be kept out of government.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So because of that, it's actually... because in the absence of that, the opposition could cobble together the remaining 60% and put together their own government.
But they don't get along.
Yeah.
So they will never form the 60%.
which brings me to the same point, Lokhumsa Khulumangayo Manzukuthi. Since, well, there was these talks that were happening before the elections of them forming...
Multi-party.
Something that
moonshot.
Moonshot.
Eyes dead, apparently.
And then this is the opportunity for them to put it into exercise, and they're not. Yeah. So not only are they playing with their voters, not only are they not even consulting their voters, because that's our politicians.
Absolutely.
Okay,
so this is where this question comes into play, right? Like, are politicians there for the masses, or politicians are there for themselves? Because then if you're for the people, you need to you know, sit together. You know that you have differences.
Egos,
you know,
aside.
Egos and pride aside, and work together. But what we know is that the DA are funny MK in the EFF.
Yes, so as a result, they would never have that 60% vote, collective vote.
Yes,
so
no, I'll give you that. You know, that was just in a perfect world where, you know, people are able to put those things aside. But to come back to the multi-party charter, these guys had essentially created a pact, right? And the only way that pact was going to work is if they got 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't even come close to 30. Even if,
even if, you know, they were able to keep the agreement going, it's still not big enough for them to run the government. So I suppose voters weren't just buying, you know, whatever proposal that they were making.
And then on your breaking news point where they say Friday we are appointing a president, who's calling the shots now?
Yeah.
Like, are the political parties made a decision that they have not told us? Tina, let's vote. But on Friday, we are going to have a new speaker in the parliament, and we're going to have a president. Whether the president is new or we retain the one that we had, we don't know. So, on Friday, why are we not being consulted? And do you think the political parties, but they know exactly what is happening?
Yeah. So, I'll put on my news head first and say, you know, Parliament works as an independent institution.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be affected by all these external things. Parliament is just going to go about doing its job. Ugutama politicians have their house in order or not.
Yeah.
However, the most cynical South African will say, if Parliament has come up with a date, they may very well have been in agreement, and you and I just don't know about it yet.
Mm.
Are they not governed by the same policies? Sorry, Glenn, IEC, you know, the IEC has to declare an election within a certain time, a certain period of time. So they have to elect a speaker within a certain period of time and inaugurate a new president within a certain set of time. Are they not governed by that outside of the talks?
Yeah, well, that's the ultimate restriction for everyone, Parliament and politicians, right? It has to be, you're absolutely right, after 14 days of the elections being declared, we have to have the first sitting of Parliament, or else you run the risk of a snap election. That's a fancy way of just saying we do this whole thing all over again.
Oh,
and
shucks.
No one wants that. The IEC doesn't
want
that.
I don't want that.
South Africans don't want
MK
that.
MK wants that.
Maybe just the MK party. You're right, actually.
So,
but it's a huge logistical nightmare, and
so, well, let us make it make sense, Ayanda. Uskumba, I told him, like, in a perfect world, when you vote for someone, they might consult you. When Skumba does his gigs, we pay 250. He doesn't tell us the kind of jokes he's going to do. He has a shift when you go and pay for the tickets at the games. They make the decision as to who plays. Okay.
Now you don't tell us which songs you're going to play.
Halala. Halala. We have a response to our feature, Make It Make Sense with Ayanda Nyathi.
Come to think of it, our politicians are for themselves. Like, they don't put South Africans first. They are for their stomachs in jail. And they want to feed those who they want to feed. They want to make deals without including us. Like, for instance, now with this coalition thing, it should be showed on a public platform where we also get a say, because it's my vote as well, you know, that is contributing to this democracy, if we call it that.
That's why it's in a perfect world. It's not going to happen.
But guys, let's just be honest, just for half a second. Do you know what chaos it would cause if there was public opinion on who should rule today, who should be the Minister of Sports? Because as much as we say they are doing their own thing, we also have our own biases. So you know who you prefer, and it does not always translate into a popular view.
So it's like, and I'll use soccer again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you imagine if Kaizer Chiefs were listening to all the 20 million fans?
Who to field?
You
are a
Kaizer. We'll
like
be playing.
10 years from now.
We will be playing there as well. Yeah.
But at the same time, it shows why the stadiums are aimed.
Guys, may we get a government we voted for? I get what we said we're going to have a say, the vote salon.
Yeah.
Now, if it's a mess, it's on us.
Okay, which government did you vote for?
If
she's right,
message,
though.
Yeah.
If it's a miss, it's because of us. Mm. We were not sure. We didn't even unite when we voted.
Yep.
Hey.
Make it make sense. Make sense. With Ayanda Nyathi. If you missed it live, Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.